We are continuing our series in the Sermon on the Mount. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Matthew chapter 6. We'll start in the bulletin says 25, but I want to back it up to 24. So Matthew 6, 24, if you could turn there, if you would, please. And let's go to God and ask for his help as we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true, and I pray that you would speak to us through your word right now. I pray that you give us open hearts to hear from you. I pray that your spirit would work in our hearts, convict us where we need that, encourage us where we need that. We thank you for your spirit and just the power that he gives us to obey you, to believe you, to live in the light of your truth. And I pray for your people here today that you would help us to do that. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I have a news flash for everybody. Something you may or may not know. A lot of people today have anxiety. Is this new? I was looking up some statistics about anxiety. Anxiety is a real problem these days for teenagers. I don't know if you knew this. A quarter of teenagers, according to the National Institutes of Health, a quarter of teenagers have an anxiety disorder. A third of teenage girls have an anxiety disorder, according to the National Institute of Health. A fifth of American adults struggle with anxiety. And way more than that will at some point, at some point in your life, it's closer to half of people. And when I was listening to those stats, they sound really high, but I was thinking, I think it's a lot higher than that. Just anecdotally, the people that I know, I think we're all kind of dealing with some anxiety in some way, right? I saw a poll, and the poll asked people, if you've had more anxiety this year than last year, okay? The poll said that 40% of Americans respond that they have more anxiety this year than last year. 40%. So our anxiety is increasing. And here's the funny thing about that poll. It was 2018. That's like before COVID, before the 2020 election, before the January 6th nonsense, before rising inflation, before the war in Europe, before my daughter went to snow camp. I mean, this is, what would it be now? Would you respond that you have more anxiety this year than last year? On Thursday this week, our daughter was going to go to snow camp on Friday morning, and sometimes my high school friends get together and do a Zoom call. This is, I guess, one of the blessings of learning about Zoom, So my friends in Arkansas, and some of them are, one guy's in Oklahoma, and the others are in Arkansas, and then there's me, and we can get together and talk, six of us, and one guy had a cast on his wrist. I was like, Greg, what happened to you? Well, I broke my arm sledding. Our daughter was going to snow camp the next day. I made the mistake of telling my wife that. Greg broke his arm sledding. So I think that turned our anxiety up to 11. We've got a lot to worry about, don't we? We've got money. Some people think it's only people that don't have a lot of money that worry about money, but other people think, well, it's the people that have a lot of money that worry about money. I think, everybody worries about money, don't we? Whether you have a lot, whether you've got a little, don't have any, you're worried about money. You got troubles. We're worried about the world. We're worried about our children. We've got a lot to worry about. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with anxiety? Jesus is going to talk to us about how we deal with anxiety in this text. It's Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34. Let me read it, and then we'll see what Jesus has to say to us and what we need to do. Okay. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, since he can either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For the Gentiles eagerly, or your translation might say, the unbelievers, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is God's word. If you look at verse 20, well, three times in this passage, Jesus says, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." Okay? And if you look at verse 25, the first time he says, "Don't worry," back up from where he says, "Don't worry," he says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry." And as you've probably heard in some Bible study at some point, when there's a therefore, you want to know what is therefore. What, therefore, don't worry. Why should we, what is he building his conclusion on? You got to go back to the last verse where he says you can't serve both God and money. So what Jesus is saying to his followers, if you're going to be my follower, if you're going to be my disciple, since you are my disciple, since you are a follower of Jesus, since you're part of Jesus' kingdom, you have a different value than the people on the outside of Jesus' kingdom. People on the outside have one master, and you have a different master. The people on the outside, they serve a master, and that master is money. And you have a different master. Your master is God. Okay? So since we have a master who is God and not money, in conclusion, you shouldn't worry. Okay? If God is really your master, if God is the one you're serving, then logically, you're not going to be filled with anxiety and filled with worry. Because you know that God's got you. God's got me. God's got this. Okay, everybody turn to your neighbor and say, "God's got this. God's got this." Okay, God's got this. You know that you serve God and he's your master and he's going to take care of you. Your master is not money. Your master is God, and he's able to provide. Okay, so the logical conclusion, if we're Jesus' followers, we're not going to worry. I'm going to give you three reasons, or Jesus has given us three reasons here why we shouldn't worry. And the first one, if you look at verse 27, it says, "Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying?" Okay. The first reason we shouldn't worry is because worrying doesn't help anything. And actually, that verse, it's difficult to translate because it's like, can anybody add a cubit? And a cubit is a measurement of length, like from your elbow to your fingertip. That's how long a cubit is. Can anybody add a cubit to his, and then that word is hard to translate. It might mean life, but most of the time it means your height. Can anybody, or sometimes it means height, but usually it means, it usually means lifespan, like how long you live. But like if you're adding a measurement of length, then why do you add a length to your life? That's a time. So it's confusing. So some translations say, you can't add a foot to your height by worrying. And that's true. You know, like we have children. They start out, this is another news flash for you people. Children, when they come to us, they start really small. And then they get bigger. They grow. They get taller. And like so fast. And I look at the pictures on my wall of when they were tiny and now they're so much taller. How did they get taller? It wasn't because they worried enough, you know? They just got taller. God made them taller. You know, God gave them life, and God can make them grow. They don't get any taller by worrying. And if you, like, want to add a couple inches, like, you're like, oh, I'd love to be a center in the NBA. Like, worrying isn't going to help, you know? That's from God. You know, you can't coach 7'2". You know, that's just a gift from God. So, or if it's lifetime, you know, a span of life, if that's the right translation. Can you live longer by worrying more? Is that going to add a few years tacked on to the end of your life if you worry more? I mean, probably it's going to do the opposite. It's probably going to give you ulcers, and then you're going to live shorter. And I don't mean to criticize anybody who has ulcers, but what I'm saying is worry, it doubles your trouble. You've got your trouble, and then you start worrying. That doubles your trouble. It's not going to make things better. It's just going to make things worse. And God, the God who gave us life, is able to sustain the life that he gave us. Isn't that beautiful? God gave you life, and he can sustain your life, and worrying doesn't help anything. Okay, so that's the first reason why we shouldn't worry. The second reason you shouldn't worry is because God loves his kids. God cares for his kids. We're his children. I love the way that Jesus describes God in this passage. He calls God your heavenly Father. Okay, and he gives us two examples about birds and about flowers. And this morning I'm sitting at my table eating my eggs, and I look out the window, and there is a downy woodpecker on the bird feeder. And I was thinking about this passage about how God provides for the birds. And the funny thing was there were no seeds in the bird feeder because I haven't filled it up this week. But like that downy woodpecker is still pretty fat. And you know, like he's going around and he's finding stuff to eat. And God's providing. Like he didn't plant a garden this year. He didn't, you know. God just provides for him. And it's not that his heavenly Father provides for him. Your heavenly Father provides for him. God's not his heavenly Father. God made him. But God is your heavenly Father. You're the one who's God's child. And so if God's going to provide for the bird, he can provide for you. And with the flowers too, you know, in the summertime, near the beginning of the summer, the dandelions start to come up in the yard. Have you ever, like, picked a dandelion and looked at it? Those things are so beautiful. All the beautiful little yellow petals. And when they go to seed, and it makes that round, fluffy ball of cloudy dandelion seed, and the wind takes it and spreads it all over the beautiful cloud, all over your yard. I hate the dandelions. I tell my kids, pick as many as you can and bring them to me. Or I get that weed whacker and just, you know, as many as I can. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful little flowers. We heard last week about the king of Israel getting ready for his wedding and the beautiful clothes that he wore and the beautiful bride, the future queen, and her linen robe with the gold thread woven into it, and just how glorious and splendiferous she was, you know. She's got nothing on a daisy. She's got, we have these, like, this orchid plant, you know, the one you put the ice cubes on. And the a couple years ago, all the flowers fell off, and we just kept putting the ice cubes on. And this year, it bloomed again more beautifully than it ever had bloomed before. You know, there's like five beautiful orchids in a row, like beautiful pink flowers. Looks better than any of you guys, I'm sorry to say. God clothed that plant more beautifully, you know, but who does he love more? Does he love that orchid or does he love you? You're his child and he can take care of you. When we worry, there's something behind the worry. It's a failure to trust God. It's a failure to trust his power, because maybe we think, I've got to solve my problems. I'm the one who has to take care of this. I have to provide for all of these needs. I have to take care of it. If I'm not the one doing it, it won't get done, you know? And we're failing to see that there's some things that just God will give you, or God will provide for you. God will do it. We're failing to trust that God is able to take care of it. You can give your worries to God, knowing that he has the power to take care of you. And sometimes underneath the worry, it's a failure to trust God's love. You think, well, I know that God could take care of this if he wanted to, but he doesn't really care about me. I'm just little old me. I'm just this person in Canterbury, out of the way. God's got bigger things to worry about, you know? But God loves you. God loves his children, and you're his child, and he wants to take care of you. He wants to meet your needs. You're his. You belong to him. God's got you. God's got this. So we can trust in his power, and we can trust in his love. We can know. We shouldn't worry, because we know that God cares for us. And the last reason that we shouldn't worry, that Jesus points out, is that there's more to life than just our basic necessities. In contrast to what all of the advertisements on TV and in your feeds on your phone and in the magazines, in contrast to what all these advertisements tell you, there's more to life than all this stuff. You know, if you look at the magazines, the glossy magazines, what is it about life? Fancier clothes, fancy brands, you know, the latest fashions, all of the drinks that you can buy to lubricate your life, you know, to make sure that you have a wonderful time. Which one are you going to buy for this weekend? You know, all the food, and you know, I look on my phone, and I think somehow your phone learns what you're going to click on somehow. I don't know. And starts feeding you more and more of the same thing, but it's sort of like, which diet, which is going to make you live longer, you know? If the people who are 110 out there, what do they eat? Do they eat a lot of meat? They don't eat any meat? Should you try the carnivore diet? Should you try the vegetarian diet? Should you try the just eat nuts and berries diet? Should you try the diet where you don't eat anything that hasn't been picked in the last 30 minutes, you know? Like, and then the one I saw this morning was, the people that live the longest are the ones who eat the most chocolate. You know, I like that article. I'll hold on to that one. You know, like, what's the right thing? And it's sort of like, and you look at the advertisements, you know, for all the stuff you can do to your house. What kind of island? How many islands should you put in your kitchen? 3, 4? You know, how many walls should you knock down? And then COVID came and everybody's like, I need more walls. There are too many people close to me in my house. Got to put the walls back up. You know, like, what are you going to do? Like, all this stuff. Life is about all this stuff, right? It's sort of like you think of yourself as an engine. And what's the right fuel? What's the right maintenance schedule to keep me going as long as possible? You know, is that what life is about? Just to survive comfortably longer and longer, you know, before I go out? Jesus says, uh-uh. Look at verse 25. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at verse 32. The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. The unbelievers, that's what they make their life about. They make their life about the stuff. But you're different. You belong to God. You know that there's more to life than stuff. And what is there that's more to life? Well, there's God, you know, knowing him, the relationship with him, learning how beautiful he is, learning how glorious he is, learning how much he loves you, and the relationships that he's given you with other people, people who will live forever, you know. There's more to life than the stuff. There's knowing God, and we need to know that there's more, and when we realize that there's more than just the stuff, we can live for that instead of just for the stuff, and then we're not so worried. Okay, so that's why we shouldn't worry, and now I want to talk to you about what we should do instead of worry, and the main verse on this is verse 33, and Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be provided for you." So what we should do instead of worrying is to seek the kingdom of God. We need to be ambitious, but ambitious for God's agenda. Ambitious for God, you know. We need to work hard and put some effort into it and to have a big purpose for our life, and that purpose is knowing God more and letting his kingdom advance in the world, you know, seeking first his kingdom, where we want to share his good news with the people around us and share his love with the people around us. And sometimes that's, you know, sharing the good gifts that God has provided for us, and, you know, working hard and earning and being able to share it with the people around us, right? Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness, did you hear that? So part of what it means to seek first his kingdom is to seek his righteousness, to put some effort into living righteously before God, okay? Not just living selfishly, but living righteously, to live in a way that's right, a way that's honest, a way that's pure, a way that's holy. And if you want to know, like, exactly what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about righteousness, look back on the last chapter where Jesus says, your righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees. And he talks about your charity, your giving, you know. We need to give not because of what I get out of it, but what the person gets out of it, you know. And have a heart for God as I serve him and love people. Or your marriage. You know, don't just throw her off and get a new one. Don't turn her in for a new model. You know, be faithful. Be faithful. And if you're not married, live in purity, live in chastity. You know, seeking God and trusting him to meet your needs. Investing in your marriage if you're married. Not like the world lives, but investing in that, the love of your life, you know, that God has given you. And in your prayer life, not being somebody who prays just for show, not so people will think, oh, you're so holy and so wonderful, but you pray for God. You have a deep and real, authentic prayer life where you're trusting in him to meet your needs and seeking after his will. The culture makes the meaning of life our own comfort, our own self-preservation. But we know there's more because we belong to God. So we need to be ambitious for God and let him handle the rest. And so that brings us to the next thing that we need to do. We seek his kingdom. Instead of worrying, we seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And instead of worrying, we let God handle tomorrow. You see verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's true, right? There's plenty of trouble today. So why bring on all tomorrow's troubles and worry about that? We need to trust God today for the needs that we have today. And you notice in the Lord's Prayer, he says, the way that Jesus tells us to pray, give us today our daily bread. We seek God for what we need today, and we ask him to provide for us. And let me just tell you what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean we shouldn't work or shouldn't plan ahead. If you look at what the Apostle Paul says to the churches, he's like, you don't work, you don't eat, you know, or, you know, if you don't work, you're worse than the pagans. You know, we need to, if God's given you the strength to work, you should work and take care of your family. But God uses the means of you working to provide for you sometimes, you know, and then when there's not enough, God can find another way. Sometimes miraculously, sometimes another way. God can handle it. Another thing that it doesn't mean is it doesn't mean you won't have trouble. It doesn't mean you won't have problems. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So just because we're trusting God doesn't mean our life is going to be without any troubles and without any problems, because we're going to have them. Jesus guarantees that we're going to have problems, but we can trust God with our problems. We can give our anxieties over to God so we don't have to carry that worry. We don't have to carry that burden. I love it that Jesus says, you know, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So just take on Jesus's light yoke. Don't carry around the heavy yoke of all the worries that you have. And it also, something that this doesn't mean is it doesn't mean we don't have responsibility for other people, because we do have responsibility. Like sometimes people's needs aren't getting met, and the reason is because I'm not using what I have to meet your needs. You know, like don't take this verse that says, you know, don't worry, you know, seek first the kingdom and God's going to meet your needs. Don't look at somebody whose needs aren't getting met and say, well, I guess they're not trusting God enough and that's their problem. You know, maybe the way that God wants to meet their needs is through you. You know, sometimes the way that God is providing is giving some of us more so we can help the others who have less. So are you tracking with what I'm saying? So not worrying and seeking God and trusting that God will provide, that doesn't mean that we don't work or that we don't plan ahead. We do need to plan. It doesn't mean that we won't have problems. It doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility towards other people. It just means that we don't need to worry. We don't need to carry the anxiety around with us. Dennis Yaworsky tells this wonderful joke. I won't tell it as well as him, but it's about a man who's deep sea fishing, and the wind comes up and he falls off his boat and he's like floundering around in the waves, and he cries out to God, God help me, you know, and then another fishing boat sees him, you know, the people in the fishing boat, and they come by and they're like, here, we're gonna throw you a line and help you, and the guy's like, no, that's okay, God's gonna save me. And then the boat leaves, and then an ocean liner comes by, and they see him, and they're like, oh, we want to help you. You know, we'll throw you a ladder and pull you in, you know. He's like, no, God's going to help me. And the ocean liner just keeps on going. And then the Coast Guard helicopter comes over, and they drop the rope ladder down, and they're like, grab on, and we'll pull you up. No, God's going to help me. And the Coast Guard helicopter flies off. And then the man drowns. And then he goes to heaven, and he says, and he sees God, and he says, God, why didn't you help me? And God says, well, I tried 3 times. I love that joke. you know, like God typically uses means. So when his provision can come to us, like as we trust him, it can come through our work, it can come through our neighbors, it can come through other ways, and sometimes God uses you as the means to help somebody else, you know? So don't worry. Don't carry the anxiety. Trust in God to meet your needs. God can handle today. Let him handle tomorrow. We trust him, okay? And then what happens is God provides for your needs, okay? Jesus says in verse 33, you know, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So as we're seeking God's agenda, when we set our agenda aside and seek God's agenda, he is able to take care of us. He'll give us enough food, he'll give us enough clothes, he'll give us enough shelter, you know, he'll give you gas for your car. God will be able to provide for you as you seek him. God can handle that. God loves you. God loves his children. He loves to take care of his children. So as we seek him, he's able to provide for us. And I just want to just tell you, as you have your worries that you're worried about, as all of us do, we all have things we're concerned about, and letting go of worry is a struggle. It's not easy. But Jesus has given us a tool to do this, the tool to let go of worry, and that's prayer. We fight this battle on our knees before the Lord, okay? As we pray, like Jesus taught us to pray, where the first thing we pray is we're seeking God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We on our knees before him, the first thing we do is we say, I want your agenda, God. I want what you want. I want what you want in my life. I want what you want in the world. I want your kingdom to grow. I want your will to be done on earth. I want your will to be done in my heart. I want your will to be done in my family. As we seek him, you know, we seek his will, and then we say, give us this day our daily bread. We trust him to forgive, trust him to provide for our needs. And one of our needs is the forgiveness need, you know. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We seek God's kingdom. We ask him to meet our daily needs. We forgive the people that have hurt us as we pray. The battle of anxiety is a hard battle, and we fight it on our knees before God, seeking his kingdom and asking him to provide for us. And when we do that, we can know that God's got this. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got this. One more time. Come on now. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that we can trust you to take care of us. And we pray that you would as we seek after you. We pray that you provide for our church as we seek your agenda, as we seek the growth of your kingdom in Canterbury. We pray that you would provide for our needs. And I pray that for every family, for every individual who's here today, I pray that we would be able to see you meeting our needs as we seek you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing the next hymn together.